$2,300.
Yeah, we're just going to hand it out to someone who calls us and gets the right answer here sometime between now and 5, if all goes according to plan.
I'll take it.
Michael Schneider,
welcome. Can I have it?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
I don't think you can play.
Oh, is that not how it works?
No, I'm sorry.
I would say yes. I don't know why he says no.
You can't just ask for it. I mean, it should be more than that.
I mean, it's not an exciting game, but I would take it. I'll dance. I'll sing. What do you need me to beatbox?
I'll
do whatever.
I would love you to beatbox. You just got back from South by Southwest?
Yes. Beautiful Austin, Texas.
Love it.
Belly full of barbecue.
Michael,
that's my band, by the way, that performed.
Belly full of barbecue. Yeah.
Michael Schneider from Variety. What were you doing out there? So South by Southwest.
South by Southwest. There was a bunch of panels and screenings. I actually hosted a comedy event. I did some brief stand-up.
Did you?
Yeah, which I will send you the link, Kevin, because I know
Please
you will enjoy this.
I will.
I think you'll grab some tape, and the next time I'm here, you will play some.
Please do. I would like that.
But yeah, I saw a bunch of screenings. So I will tell you right now, when The Fall Guy comes out, which is the new Ryan Gosling film, sort of loosely based on the TV series, run, do not walk to your nearest Megaplex.
Is that right?
Really?
It is hysterical. It's fantastic. It is the movie that just you want to, it's everything you want in sort of a comedic action movie about stunt people. It's fantastic.
So it's better than Peter O'Toole, the stuntman from way back when? Or he's just on a roll right now, isn't he?
I mean, Gosling is on a roll.
He really is.
Yeah.
When does that come out?
So, of course you would ask me now, and I would not have it on top, because I am dropping some humble brag in that the fact that I already got to see it at South By.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you care?
What do I care when the plebes go see it? But pretty soon, I believe.
2024, it says here. So yeah, pretty soon.
Oh, wow.
That narrows it down to this year.
So you were at the Oscars.
I was covering the Oscars.
Okay, you were covering the Oscars from Austin?
From Austin, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great article in Variety, by the way. You should look this up. It was nice behind the scenes, Michael wrote and everything.
Yeah, so I do this every year, actually. I get a chance to talk to Molly McNerney, who, of course, is executive producer on Jimmy Kimmel Live and also Jimmy's significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives sort of the inside scoop on how everything really went down at the show. And it was a fascinating year because we had all sorts of big questions, like what was Al Pacino doing
in that? What the hell was that?
So
Attica.
That was sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
We're all getting older, Kevin.
Oh, I know.
We're all getting older. Al has gotten much, much older.
I've always been Al, so it's fine with me.
At least you didn't say my eyes see La La Land or something like that.
I mean, honestly, that was the best moment was like, is Al about to pull off another envelope game?
100%.
And if you're a producer, you're kind of like, yes, Al, screw this up so that we can all talk about this. We can all
debate it.
And so that was great. Talking a little bit about, again, Ryan Gosling doing the I'm Just Ken number.
Unbelievable.
How did they pull that off? That was fantastic.
My former partner, Allie, tweeted, it must suck to be a guy and not be Ryan Gosling.
It's
and
true.
I was like, pretty true.
Kind of does.
I had not seen
fantastic.
Barbie yet, but that actual performance there at the Oscars made me, I watched it the next night. And I'm like, all right, this is amazing. Yeah, I finally got around to it.
And you got it.
It's a great movie. Like everybody says, it's something you don't expect. Whatever you expect, that's not what it is.
I thought it was a really good Oscars, by the way.
One of the best I've seen in years.
Yeah.
It's been years.
Yeah, Jimmy was great. The numbers were great.
Yep.
I mean, the speeches were fantastic. I thought it was a really good
five.
Show.
What a great idea, having five of the former winners introducing.
Oh, I thought, oh no.
Me too, first.
They bring out five former winners for like best...
For supporting actress.
Supporting
that was the
actor
first
and actress.
Yeah. So, you see, it's like speech on top of speech on top of speech.
And I was thinking, like, this is going to be the longest show in the history
of
the show.
We're going to be here for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And thankfully, they kind of reined it in. And the show was short. It actually, like, Jimmy had to actually vamp for the last couple of minutes.
Isn't it past your jail time?
And he had the line of the show, which was fantastic. And they were late. They were 5 minutes late because people were sort of slow to get into the theater, so they had to vamp there, too. And yet it was a short Oscars, which you got to love.
Short, fast, great, and that Fab Five idea. I guess you said in your article they had done it in 2009 when they had them last time.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
Worked well. So as long as you keep it short, as long as it's funny and emotional, which they managed to pull off.
Yeah.
But I thought the numbers were great. I mean, Billie Eilish and Phineas are always fantastic. Fantastic! I'm Just Ken. Yeah, it was a good show.
Talk
the numbers were up.
Talk about a little bit behind the scenes of Jimmy talking about wanting to do the Donald Trump quote.
Yeah. Well, that
tweet.
Well, that's a funny thing, because you all heard that Jimmy went out the next day and said, I was told, don't do it. He didn't say who told him not to do it. It turns out it was his wife, Molly, who said, you know, this is not, we don't want to make this show about Donald Trump. We don't want to get too political. But Jimmy had a glimmer in his eye because Trump had gone
like
on Truth Social, his site, and had trashed the show, of course, as he's wont to do. And Jimmy loves nothing better than to poke needle at Donald Trump. And so he had that line, which was a fantastic line. It ended up being the right decision. It was fantastic. It was hysterical.
The crowd and so, just blasted.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
And so even Molly was like, you know what? I was wrong. I'm glad he did it.
So, and you said in your article that, of course, people are a little upset about the in memoriam, as they always are.
Which they always are.
Yeah.
You can't win on that.
Yeah.
But I can see why. You know, part of the problem is they do all these great moments where they flash the name on the screen, but they had pulled back the camera so much that you could barely see some of the names.
We have a massive screen, and I was squinting.
Yeah,
see,
they kind of forget that it's really about that.
Yeah.
You know, no one really came to see Andrea Bocelli perform his song and his son. So just show the in memoriam. You don't need a big song and dance.
But that is the one where you can't win. That part of the show, it doesn't matter what you do, somebody's still going to be
dead?
Upset. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess so.
They're always going to forget someone.
You said you can't win. I see what you're saying.
Because they're dead.
It's the part of the Oscars you don't want to be on.
Right. Correct. Yes, that is correct.
But then if you're not on it, then your next of kin are pissed off.
Right.
That's very
exactly.
True.
So there's no winning with In Memoriam.
Well, I thought that was a great Oscars
overall.
Really
good.
It was really good.
Yeah. And again, the ratings were up, so at least people are kind of watching it again.
I do what I always do, which is start an hour and a half later, record it, and then fast forward through the parts I don't want to watch. And I was surprised at how much of it I watched.
Yeah.
Do the exact same thing. I do that with sporting events all the time. Usually catch up so it's live in the last little like half hour or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was hardly doing any fast forwarding.
It moved at a rapid clip.
Yeah.
So
Shout
out to the Oscars.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to take a quick, we're going to play a song, right? We're
going to
play a commercial.
Little ditty number.
We're going to play a song.
Oh, let me guess.
Come back and
Led
talk
Zeppelin
about...
or... Heart or what?
$2,300. Michael Schneider will now guess.
I'm getting that money.
We will give you the money if you guess what song we're going to play.
Not the band.
No, not the band.
It's $2,300.
All right. It's Thunderstruck.
Wow.
Suckers walk.
Nope.
Money talk.
Nope.
Damn it.
Three lock box. Just think you get to have $2,300, man. Just thought of Sammy Hagar. Damn it.
I don't think enough about Sammy Hagar. I had a tequila shot, maybe.
He'll be all right. Let's talk TV, shall we? We have Michael Schneider from Variety here and at IndieWire, right?
No, not doing that.
Sorry.
No, Variety. Variety.
My
Variety
bad.
All the time. All
right.
Day, all night.
Okay.
Variety.
All the time.
Exactly. Settle down there.
Take it easy.
I know. I'm very competitive.
Yes. Let's talk TV. Things that maybe have started that we missed or things that are coming up.
Yeah, well, let's start with The Gentlemen. You remember the Guy Ritchie film, right? So this is kind of a, I don't know if you call it a spinoff or a new version of it, but either way, it's on Netflix now, and it's Guy Ritchie's TV series. But Theo James, who you might know from, he was on The White Lotus. He does a lot of British shows as well. But he's the lead on this, and basically he inherits this mansion, this title as a duke. But suddenly he also inherits a life of crime to some degree.
Love it.
And it's classic Guy Ritchie. It's hysterical. It's ultra violent. It's quirky. There's a lot of crazy villains in it. There's a lot of action. But at the end of the day, it's still just very funny. Like I said, so
I like it.
So if you like your Guy Ritchie, then this is a Guy Ritchie series, and it's well worth your time. So,
excellent.
Nice.
So do check that out.
The Gentlemen.
Right. So that's already on. So coming up, you're going to be hearing a lot about the new series from Benioff and Weiss. They're the guys who did Game of Thrones, of course. And this is their first big series at Netflix. They have a big deal there now. And it's called Three Body Problem. It's based on a book, which I haven't read because I don't read.
Reading is for losers.
This is where I'm very Kevin Ryder.
which you never want to say.
And I regret my life choices now. I'm sorry I even said that. But nonetheless, it's sort of a sci-fi, but also very contemporary action. But I don't even know how to describe it. Honestly, you're going to watch the first episode and you're going to be like, what the F just happened?
Those are the best. I love it when you're just like that. Yeah.
Because it's there's a lot of scientific mystery. There's sort of otherworldly aspects to it. They put on these helmets and suddenly they're in a different world. So it's Three Body Problem. Alexander Wu, who's also one of the creators, is also fantastic. Benedict Wong is in it. There's a whole fantastic cast as well. I don't know really how to describe it other than just watch it. In that first episode, you're even going to be, unless you know the book, you're going to be even more confused. But it's so beautifully shot. The visuals are amazing. They spend some serious Netflix money.
Love it.
So do check that out. That starts March 21st.
Three Body Problem.
So, premiering today, Girls 5 Eva, Season 3.
I'm sorry, what?
Now, you guys don't know Girls 5 Eva, do you?
No.
Girls 5 Eva?
He's making stuff up.
Yeah,
he's just seeing if we know any of this.
Yeah,
just making stuff up.
It's word soup.
And this is kind of the point. The first two seasons were on Peacock.
There's a third season?
Yes. So you didn't watch the first two on Peacock. But right. So this is a comedy from Tina Fey and Robert Harlock. They are the brains behind 30 Rock, of course.
Yes, of course.
So if you like that rapid 30 Rock joke on top of joke on top of joke,
yes,
then you're going to love Girls 5 Eva. It's
nice.
About these four women who, back in the early 2000s, were a big girl group, and they had a huge number of hits, but then they sort of, you know...
Sort of like the Spice Girls?
Sort of like the Spice Girls, had a moment in the sun, but then 20 years later, they've long since broken up, they've tried solo careers, it didn't work. They basically were going back to their normal lives. But a hip-hop star samples one of their big hits, and suddenly there's talk of, well, why don't they reunite? And they do, they try to reunite, but, you know, from there, they're trying to regain a little bit of their early 2000s glory and in their middle age, and finding that the world doesn't really want them back, but they do want to be back.
Right.
So it skewers the music industry. It skewers what it's like to be middle age, trying to recapture that glory of your younger days, especially what it's like to be a woman in their middle age, trying to sort of become relevant again in a world that has written them off and completely has moved on. But again, just hysterical. Because
where is
it? Now it's on Netflix.
Netflix. Hmm.
So Netflix got both seasons from Peacock and then created a third season as well. So you've got 22 episodes. You've got a serious binge.
Yeah, good.
And this
is
such a funny show, and the music is great too. So Tina Fey's husband, who's a fantastic musician, wrote a lot of the music, but then also Sarah Bareilles, who's one of the stars of the show, also wrote some of the music. Renee Elise Goldsberry from Hamilton is in it. Paula Pell, who is hysterical, is in it, and then Busy Phillips as well.
Oh, I love her.
You're gonna love
She's
this
awesome.
Show. Next
She's
time
great.
I see you, you're gonna be like, okay. Maybe we don't love screaming cooking shows, but we do love
Kevin
Tina Fey.
We'll have a meltdown if there's a cooking show with a screaming chef on it.
Who needs that?
There he goes. Look out.
Food or don't. I don't care. Stop yelling.
Yeah. All right, what's the name of the show you were talking about?
So Girls 5 Eva. It's right now
Girls
on Netflix.
Do you feel stupid saying that? Because...
That's part of the joke.
Okay.
It's part of the joke is they had one of those stupid early 2000s girl group band names.
Right.
So Gerard Carmichael, who is an amazing comedian and who you haven't paid attention to, has really grown as a comedian over the past couple of years. He came out with a comedy special last year called Rathaniel, where he came out and talked about what that was like to come out to his parents, who were very deeply religious. He's from the South. And
he's a really unique voice.
Yeah. And he really bears all in Rathaniel. So he has a new reality show that's coming out to HBO Max at the end of the month. It's just called the Gerard Carmichael Reality Show. He took cameras along and basically spent time with his family, spent time with his parents.
And in the South.
And it's really raw,
where
he really goes deep. And part of it is, you know, he's sort of working through things right now, too.
Sure.
And you see him working through it in real time, talking to his therapist, also talking to his dad. And you start to wonder, is this because because he can't have these conversations with his parents without a camera.
And there are
moments where you're really cringing, like, should I be watching this?
Those are the best. I love those moments.
Not for me, really.
It's like,
I'm uncomfortable.
Maybe do these family moments without a camera, but he's working through some stuff. But he's also so funny at the same time, and he knows he's still doing this for the camera. So it's kind of like a reality show like you haven't seen before. And so it's worth checking out. It's going to be on HBO Max on March 29. And then the other show that's coming back for season three, and I've seen the first two episodes, and it really sticks the landing. It is back. Hacks, season three.
Hacks.
HBO Max. That's, of course, the Gene Smart show with Hannah Einbinder and a fantastic cast. And it's a show that if you love the first two seasons, you're really going to love season three as well. Have you watched Hacks?
I don't think
so.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Guys.
I don't think so.
Where have you been?
Yeah, are we behind on this
You
one?
Don't want to know, dude.
we were into Girls 5 Eva.
Yeah.
No, you've been on the dark web is what I heard earlier.
Anyway, so how you guys doing?
Like with some gnomes, like some sex gnomes? Like,
listen.
What, are these sex gnomes?
We will
that you
put
guys
these gnomes anywhere you want.
I don't, if
we
it's
don't
dark
care.
Web, I don't know what you guys, but let me, back into the light.
I don't think either of us said sex and gnome together.
Nope.
I think it was implied.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
It was dark web.
True that.
So
anything in the dark web.
Yeah, so Hacks season three is coming back at the start of May, but definitely catch up on Hacks as well. It is a fantastic comedy.
Love nice. It. And also, we were talking about The Fall Guy. That comes out May 2nd.
Yeah, okay.
Thursday, May 2nd.
Okay, so there you go.
Looking forward to
oh,
that.
Oh, you
yeah.
found it. Wow, well
yeah.
done.
Oh, look
yeah.
at me. I was way ahead then watching.
You're way out front.
Way out front. I'm the hipster when it comes to Kayla West.
I love any reference that starts with look at me. Any sentence that starts with look at me is great. Michael Snyder, you're the best. Thank
yeah.
you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yep,
brought a mic out.